Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, Amtrak is on pace to break even for the first time in the railroad's nearly 50-year history. Ridership is at record highs, revenue is up, and a company that's known more for losing money than making money appears to be on the cusp of a turnaround. Amtrak's president and chief executive, Richard Anderson, joins us now. He's also the former CEO of Delta Airlines. Richard Anderson, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
So these are good headlines, record ridership and losses well below your target. You're headed to the break-even point, though we should note that doesn't include money spent on maintaining some of Amtrak's physical infrastructure. But what's your takeaway from these numbers?
Well, the numbers are good numbers, and I think they're a reflection on the good employees at Amtrak who take their mission and the statutory obligations that we have at Amtrak very seriously. We did improve to the best operating performance in history. We had an operating loss, which essentially excludes non-cash depreciation. Our operating loss was $29.8 million, which was an 82% improvement over last year. And I think over the past 5 years, we've reduced the operating loss close to $400 million. So where we want to be as America's Railroad is to cover all of our operating costs through our revenues and then use the grant that we receive from our owners, the United States government, to invest in the infrastructure, the rail infrastructure across America.
Could Amtrak ever be profitable, do you think?
It's difficult for it to be profitable given that we have such a backlog of infrastructure investment. The Hudson Tunnels, the Portal Bridge, there's just not been real investment in rail in America or a sufficient investment in Amtrak so that to get to a state of good repair has – we probably have a $30 to $40 billion backlog like much of the infrastructure in our country.
Well, a lot of the gains in ridership that you saw came from the Northeast corridor of Amtrak, especially the Washington, D.C. To Boston route. Meanwhile, the long-distance route saw a much smaller increase in ridership. You have said you wanted to prioritize these urban corridors over the cross-country routes. Do you think that that is happening and fast as you'd like?
It's not happening as fast as we would like or as fast as the country needs it, because what we do see at Amtrak is in those routes where highways have reached such a congestion point, Amtrak grows significantly. That would be San Diego to L.A., Milwaukee to Chicago, and, of course, any of the many, many stops on the corridor. And we define the corridor pretty broadly from Richmond, Virginia, all the way up to Maine. All of the I-95 corridor is now so congested that every community along that corridor wants a rail stop.
Well, is there anything that's ever going to stop that? Because that's always going to be the case, right? If you're going to take the train through a place, they're going to want you to stop there, which makes it slower for everybody else.
Well, but that's where product differentiation is really important. And that's where you see us moving at Amtrak with the Acela nonstop. And, you know, this idea was not invented at Amtrak. We see it in Europe. We see it in Asia, in much more developed, well-operated passenger rail systems, which is the same track system can have multiple product offerings, a nonstop Acela from Boston to New York, a regular Acela that has a handful of stops, the Northeast Regional that stops at almost every station, and then ultimately we want to be in a position as we acquire new European-style train set equipment to opening virtually every station that we can up and down the corridor so that we basically have four products in the marketplace that are differentiated offerings and have, you know, different price points but provide maximum level of services to the maximum number of people in the corridor.
You were the CEO of Delta before coming to Amtrak. And as we know, when you get on a plane, the first thing that the pilot says is, you know, safety is our number one concern. I know that you've made safety a very important part of your time at Amtrak and safety improvements. There have been some high profile train crashes. How is that going at this point?
You know, that is the most important thing. It's more important than the financial results. And, you know, we have made tremendous progress. We're the first railroad in America to implement a safety management system, which is modeled after aviation. I was fortunate enough to be able to recruit probably the leading safety executive from aviation, Ken Highlander. And we installed an SMS. We put in, through that SMS, a safety metric system, an internal evaluation program, risk reduction program, and importantly, the use of data to determine how we're performing. I'm pleased to report that in the last year, we had no employee or customer fatalities in our last fiscal year, no NTSB accidents. Our customer incident rate was down 26%. We had a 72% reduction in serious employee injuries. And our FRA, reportable injuries for employee injuries, was down 10%. Hmm. So on virtually all of our metrics, we have sustained really strong performance. Most importantly, we have accomplished the installation of positive train control. And that is a really big event for Amtrak.
That's been one of the things that every time there has been one of the train crashes, people have been talking about positive train control, which is kind of an automated system, right, to make sure that the train doesn't go too fast around corners and things like that.
Precisely. You described it perfectly.
What is the biggest challenge facing Amtrak this next fiscal year?
Two big challenges. One is we pretty much operate on host railroads. That's freight railroads. And the freight railroads do not run us on time. And that's really a challenge for a business that sells reliability and sells saving time. And we have a number of efforts underway. But bottom line is we have to have enforcement of the statutory obligation that was created in 1970 when Amtrak took over responsibility for intercity passenger transportation on rail. We were given a preference over freight train traffic to run on time, and that has been by and large ignored. So number one, in order for us to be a reliable service provider to people all over the country, we have to be able to run on time. And then number two is, as we think about the future of surface transportation in America, it's getting the flexibility both from a funding perspective and from a design perspective to be able to put in new services that will meet the demand for our services in dense urban corridors. And right now, between a complex legal structure under Section 209 and 212 of PREA, which is the statute we operate under, we're constrained. And we need thought leadership in Congress. We need thought leadership in DOT. We need thought leaderships in the state governments to help us plot what we want the future of rail to be. You know, in Boston, you know, in New York, you know, in Washington, D.C., the critical role that rail plays in dense urban areas. Mm-hmm. We are only going to have more road congestion. The interstate highway system is not going to be able to be expanded, and we can't afford to expand it, really. And our population between now and 2050 is projected to grow somewhere between 75 to 100 million people. We can't put all those cars on the road. And Amtrak is the best environmental answer. Our biggest challenge is I go testify in Congress and all we talk about is French toast on dining cars or food. We aren't talking about the really big infrastructure issues and transportation congestion issues that all the people in this country want a solution for.
That is Richard Anderson, the president and CEO of Amtrak. We talked about a lot more, including competition from private rail. We'll bring that conversation to you soon.